Isn't God good?
Yes.
Yes.
Wow, God is good. God is good. God is good.
That's so good.
In fact, that's what we're talking about today, is the goodness of God. Talking about our victory. Talking about how to achieve victory no matter the dilemma that comes your way. It is the understanding that what Jesus Christ did for us, so much bigger than just the forgiveness of sin. Oh, the forgiveness of sin is a big deal. I'm not trying to minimize that, but I want you to know it's so much bigger than just the forgiveness of sin. In order for you and I to receive that which is so much bigger, there are certain things that we have to do to appropriate or to grab or to get the blessing that is available. That you don't stop with salvation being saved from your sin. Because it was Jesus' intent that when he endured the cross, that when he paid the price, you and I would be reconciled back to the Father. And in that reconciliation comes restoration.
Yeah.
And with that restoration, that means that things that were broken, glory to God, they are made whole. Areas where you were wounded, they are healed.
Yes.
Stuff that was stolen from you, or that you gave away, you were able to go and redeem it and get it back. He talks about the finished work that Jesus did, sets it up so that you then can go and everything that God has for you. We love singing that song, making that statement, everything God has for me is for me. It's a true statement, but you've got to go get it. Yeah. Amen?
Yes.
And sometimes it's not a going and getting it, it's reaching up and getting it. It's the pulling down of strongholds. So I want to talk to you today as we return to Romans chapter 5 about so much more. So much more. There's so much more in Jesus. So much more. Let's read this in Romans chapter 5. It is picking up from where Pastor Carol ministered to us on last week. She ministered in chapter 5 in those, I think it was those first 7 verses. But I want to pick up at verse number 8, and I want to read from 8 to 11. Romans chapter 5, verses 8. Through 11. And I'm reading from the New International Version. You follow along with whichever version you have. Are you ready?
Yeah.
All right. It says, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved, sozo, from God's wrath through him? For if, when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved, sozoed, through his life? Not only is this so, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Amen?
Amen?
So much more. As you can tell, so much more comes from Paul's statement of how much more. If God did this for you while you were an enemy, how much more will he do for you now that you have been reconciled back to him by the Son? So much more. Like many of you, I have a smartphone. And what I discovered when watching First Lady Manita and watching Tori and RJ and those guys as they use their smartphones is that my smartphone is capable of so much more than what I actually use it for. It has the ability to do more than just receive or make a phone call, which is what I use it for, or to send a text message on occasion, which is what I use it for. It has the ability to do so much more. Now, granted, I do a few other things like a little banking. You know, you can do a little banking for those who are bold enough to take that risk and step out there and feel like it's secure enough to do it. But the truth is, it's much more capable than what I actually access or use. Here's the funny thing. I'm not the only one. There are many of us who have smartphones with greater capability than we ever tap into. The truth be known, it's there. And just because you don't tap into it doesn't mean that it doesn't have the capability. Amen? It's interesting that in the same way, your relationship with God offers so much more than what we ever tap into. Now that's a shame. That's a shame. And part of what we want to do is to begin to talk about how do we begin to access and tap into all that he has made available to us. How do we begin to download the appropriate apps into our spirit so that our souls can be made whole? How do we begin to reach up into heaven and be connected and get what we need so that we are no longer walking around in a daze, confused, and allowing the enemy to take advantage of us, but we walk in the power that has been given to us. Amen?
Amen.
That's where you and I want to be, is if we are plugged into, if we are connected to the Father, you and I want to be able to receive from him the much that he has made available to us. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. In Romans chapter 5, the Apostle Paul, in this letter to the Romans, the Apostle Paul has started to talk about the benefit that comes to those who put their hope and their trust in Jesus Christ. As the Apostle Paul is talking about the benefit to those who put their hope, their trust, and their confidence in Jesus Christ, he is helping the reader to understand that this is not about how hard you work. This is about how hard you believe. Because in John, the Gospel of John, John says the work of God is to believe in the one he has sent and what he said. And so he talks about the work that you and I have to engage in has more to do with believing than fulfilling a set of standards, rules, and laws. See, in Romans, Paul talks a lot about the law of God and how the law of God, which was given so that men and women could understand that God had a standard, that law then can only do so much. It was never able to actually provide salvation. And Paul wants them to understand that when you were adhering to the laws that God had given, it was work for you trying to do that. He wants them to understand that all of that work did not bring about the righteousness that the finished work of Jesus Christ brings about when you put your hope, your faith, your confidence in him. When you believe him with all of your heart and with all of your mind and with all of your soul, he does the work through your belief and provides for you reconciliation and connection with God. And when you're connected with God, he says you have all that you need.
Amen.
Yes.
All that you need. And what you and I need to move to the place is learning how to work hard in believing. Because it can become so easy to be pushed off course and to doubt what God has said and to bring what God has said into question, and where what you really need to be doing is once you have heard the truth, once you have received the truth, once that truth has been planted into your heart, now the work is guarding that truth, securing that truth, standing on that truth, pushing back the enemy when he tries to confuse that truth, so that the truth itself will produce the life that God promises. That's the work. The work is believing that God will actually provide and do what he has said. The work is not me taking and receiving salvation through Jesus Christ, receiving forgiveness of sin through Jesus Christ, and then saying, now I'll take it from you. That's not what is supposed to happen. Thank you, Jesus. My sins have been forgiven. I'll do the rest. No. Philippians says that he will watch over you, that what he has begun in you, he will see it to completion. So there is a work that has been begun in you, and here's how you know. The moment that you are able to hear the voice of God calling you to himself, and you respond in a way that acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God who died for your sins, who went to the grave, who remained there for 3 days, and on the third day was raised from the dead, the moment that you are able to hear that, respond to it in the affirmative, it lets you know that God has purpose for your life.
Amen.
It reminds you that you are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works which he prepared in advance.
Yes.
And your job then becomes to walk according to the steps that he has ordained for your life. Your job then becomes to put aside your selfish ambitions, to put aside that stuff that you thought was good for you, and to embrace God's call upon your life. He said, God, I'm going to walk in a manner that is worthy of your calling of me. For you called me out of darkness into the light, into the kingdom of the Son that you love. Then that part becomes the work. Now, the Apostle Paul uses Abraham as an illustration. Does this in chapter 4, where he talks about Abraham being a man of faith and not a man of works. And he says that Abraham received from God not based upon what Abraham did, but based upon what Abraham believed. Now, there was participation on the part of Abraham, but what Abraham received came because he believed what God promised. Which means this, that you and I, our work then is to believe what God has said. It is not to fabricate something. It is not to make up something and then have God stamp it like he approves what we just made up. Amen. It is not for us to dream up a vision and then say, now, God, I've dreamed up my vision. Make it so. Now, God has said, now, I didn't need you to dream up a vision. I need you to receive the vision that I had for you.
All right, yeah.
And in order for you to receive the vision that I have for you, it means that you've got to sit down and listen to what I got to say to you. And so that requires that you and I take time on the regular to get to a place where it's quiet enough so that you can hear. And everything is still enough so that you can listen and receive what God wants to speak to you. Because you are uniquely created. You have been uniquely formed to participate in God's great work. But in order for you to know your role, in order for you to know your part, you've got to hear from the Creator to understand how you fit in, what you are supposed to do, how you are supposed to use the gifts and the talents that He has given you so that He is glorified and not yourself. And it requires then a pulling away and a listening. Secondly, it requires that you go to this book. It's called a Bible. That is composed of 66 individual books that give insight and revelation to who God is and what God is doing. They represent the keys to insight and understanding. That without the Word, the revealed Word of God, you cannot have a comprehensive understanding about who God is or how He is working in the world or in the heavenly. And therefore, it is absolutely mandatory that you reserve time to begin reading, studying, investigating this book that He has carefully preserved over time that tells about how He has worked with mankind throughout history and how He's going to conclude that time. It's mandatory. You have to make time to do it. If you don't fill yourself up with Him, with His Word, you don't have the necessary ingredients to receive what He has for you.
Amen.
You don't have it. You need His Word hidden in your heart. And many of you know that says, so that I might not sin against you. Let me help you for a minute. What that says is, God, I have hidden your word in my heart so that I will not miss the mark. Because sin means missing the mark, missing the standard of God, missing the purposes of God. So God, I've hidden your word in my heart so that I will not miss the mark. And yes, so that I will not sin against you. And so His word gives me insight, helps me to know how to navigate in a world where there is so much confusion, in a world where truth is being tried on every hand, in a world where new definitions are being raised up on the regular, in a world where everybody has a say without it ever being validated. His word provides for you and me stable ground to stand on.
Yes.
And it helps us to understand and to be able to discern how God is moving and operating. This is so important because the Bible teaches us that the devil masquerades as an angel of light. And his job is to deceive, to trip up, and to keep you from achieving or reaching what God has for you. He wants to keep you from receiving it. Jesus declared, I come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And then he says, watch out, the thief, that's the devil. He comes. comes with a different objective and a different motive. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And he uses methodology and techniques that are not fair. He comes masquerading to trick you up, or to trip you up and trick you, so that he can take advantage of you and prevent you from receiving what God has for you. Because he understands that there must be participation on your part in order to receive what God has for you. Jesus has finished his work. Now, we must be at the hard work of believing what God has declared. The example of Abraham is given in Romans chapter 4. Speaks of the fact that Abraham had been given a promise by God. God had said to Abraham, he came to visit Abraham, and he said, Abraham, I want you to get up and leave your family and all of these folks that you're so familiar with, and I want you to go to a place, and I will simply show you that place. You'll know it when you get there, because I'll say, this is it. Abraham, without knowing his final destination, then obeyed God and got up. God, in the meantime, had said to Abraham that he would bless Abraham. So God gives Abraham some promises of what he is going to do for Abraham. He's going to be with him, and he's going to watch over him, that anyone who decides that they want to attack Abraham got to deal with God, because God is going to fight his battle. He says that I'm going to be with you, and who you bless will be blessed, who you curse will be cursed. And then he says to Abraham, listen, also, I am going to make you the father of many nations. That's a promise that God gives to Abraham, and at the time, Abraham has no children. But yet God is saying, I'm going to make you a father of many nations. To make matters worse, when God makes this promise to Abraham, Abraham is an old man. And so God is making a promise to a man about being a father of many nations while the man is already old. Abraham believes what God is saying to him. And so he leaves his place and he goes. He follows where God is telling him to go. And then here's where truth comes in for you and me. That's something we need to understand. That everything God has said to you does not work in a microwave. Which means that it's not going to come instantly. That's the work of believing. That when what God has declared does not manifest instantly, where am I going to stand and what am I going to do? Am I going to abort what God has said, erase it out? Or am I going to believe that God has the ability to deliver no matter what the circumstance? That's the work, because everything he has declared doesn't manifest instantly. There are some folks who have been experiencing sickness, but God has healed you. But here's the thing, that healing has not manifested instantly. When it manifests instantly, that's normally called a miracle. And then there are miracles of healing which actually occur over time. There are both. There are both whereby God can speak and instantly the thing that has beset the person can be made straight. We read about this in the Gospels where Jesus was dealing with people. He met a man who was lame. Jesus said, get up instantly. The man had strength in his legs and he got up and he was able to pick up his mat and walk. Instantly, it happened in an instant. There are other occasions where folks have simply stood on the faith of what God has declared. And as they have been standing on the faith of what God has declared, God has been chipping away stuff from their systems and from their lives. And at some appointed time, because they've been standing upon what God declared, because they've been believing what God has said, at some appointed time, they walk out of their shell like a butterfly coming up out of, you know what I'm talking about. and they are new. Because in the struggle of believing, God made something magnificent out of them. It doesn't make it any less powerful. It's the same power that is at work. It is the way God chooses to apply it, and it is according to his purposes. According to what he desires to do. And your job and my job is to stand in faith and believe. Your job and my job is to work, to fight off and to ward off anything that would challenge my belief in what God has declared so that I can receive. So that I can receive what he desires to give. In the story of Abraham, he did not receive immediately that which God declared he would receive, but it took some time. It took some time before God finally allowed Abraham and his wife Sarah to have the promised child. Now, you know what happens in between. You're familiar with Abraham's story. Well, in between, that some of you say, while you wait, you might have to. Well, Abraham was waiting. And in the wait, human wisdom started to kind of play. See, this is the hard. I'm sorry. This is the hard work, right? Human wisdom starts to come in. So while they are waiting, they start to say, I know that God said this. I love this about it. I know that God said this. So they were absolutely certain of what God said. You'll be the father of many nations. I know that God said this, but maybe, just maybe, what he intended or meant is not for Sarah to be the one who would bring forth the promised child. And so using the customs of the land, this is the work. Human reasoning, customs, that's the kind of stuff that you've got to make sure that you don't allow to interfere with the faith in believing what God has declared. You have to stand on what he has said, using human wisdom. Then the customs of that day, they end up bringing into that equation a child that God did not say, I said I was going to do it that way. See, Sarah says to Abraham, why don't you just take my handmaid, my servant, and let her then become my surrogate, and we'll have a child that way. They did, and it happened. But it introduced more tension than it did blessing. And here's the good news. I thank God for this. That just because they introduced stress into their lives, just because they introduced tension into their lives, just because they slipped off and started to operate in human wisdom, God did not X them out. Oh, man. I'm getting myself happy, y'all. Because see, I know about my human wisdom, following customs, doing things of this age that have gotten in the way of receiving what God has promised. And I'm thankful to know that even though it introduced stress, he didn't exit out. And here's what I know I'm not by myself. You ain't, listen, I already know. I know you got the t-shirt, I know. And what I just want to remind you and me of is that what he began in us, he's going to see it through to completion, and he's going to fix that stuff we messed up. In fact, some of the health issues that you and I deal with, can I just tell the truth? It's because we have embraced the practices of the culture. Mm-hmm. Amen? Amen? Okay, let me illustrate. I don't feel like cooking tonight. I got a refrigerator full of food. But wait a minute, McDonald's
can cook too. And so what I'm going to do is, since I don't feel like cooking, what I'm going to do is make a stop at McDonald's. And they have a way of making it right sometimes, amen? They're doing such that it is good. In fact, they made their fries so addictive that you would just go for the fries. And so now here it is. I'm putting into practice the things of the culture. And the result then becomes, boy, you're getting a little thick around the face, huh? I can't blame it on the Lord. Amen? That was not in his, that was not in his plan for me. But it is that stuff that interferes with God's wanting to do for us. And even though that stress comes in, that extra, dare I say it, extra weight comes in, God is still able to take the mess. You say it, make a masterpiece out of it. Amen. Yeah. He can fix it. Yes, he can fix it. Now, here's the thing. Now I gotta work, right, to receive. Yes. Amen. I've got to do the work of believing that what God has for me in terms of health, I gotta work to believe that God is still able to deliver. But now all of a sudden, I complicated the situation. Yes. Uh-huh. Yes. I added extra labor to what God wanted to give more freely. Amen? And so now there are some things that I've got to do, and in the process, because here's what happens. It's easy to put on extra. Amen? It's easy. It's easy to put on extra. I'm not just talking about weight. It's easy to put on extra, right? It's easy to put on extra debt, ain't it? Isn't it easy? The hard work becomes when you're trying to get it off. It never comes off as easy as it went on. It ain't like I can just kind of say 1 week, let's say if I can just go 1 week of good exercise. No. Here's where now I've got to stay the course. Stay the course. I've got to stay the course to what's been prescribed so that the target then is achieved. And in my being faithful, I'm no longer watching the stuff. I still have my eyes fixed on him delivering. And now I'm just simply walking in obedience to what he has declared. Okay, let me keep making this more practical for you. Because listen, each one of us have different, I'm going to stay with the weight of the diet, if you don't mind. Each one of us have different bodies. Our makeups are different. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. They function different. They receive food and process food differently. We each have different lifestyles and different activity levels that are different, right? So then the plan that God has for me might not work for you.
Yeah.
And the plan God has for you might not work for me. And so here's where it is. I got to listen to God. First of all, I got to go back to him and I have to confess to God, I messed up. Mm-hmm. I messed up. Mm-hmm. I did. I got lazy. Yeah. And I tried to satisfy my taste buds, my flesh, instead of realizing that my body is the temple of the Lord, that I am one to protect it, watch over it, and keep it sacred and sanctified, I started thinking about, man, that sure does taste good. And I want some more. And it doesn't require as much work. I started thinking about, so I got to confess and then repent. Now, you know what repenting means, right? Repenting means that practice that I had before,
I'm not going to continue in that. It means to turn away from that and to walk in a new direction. The new direction has to be the direction that God is giving to you.
Yeah.
So I'm spending some time listening to Him, seeking His guidance, seeking His wisdom, allowing Him to help me decipher all the information that comes my way about health and wellness so that I have the plan that is designated for me. Then when I have the plan that is designated for me, then I've got to stay the course until He fulfills it. Amen?
Amen.
Believing that God is able to do for us what He said He desires to do for us. So much more. So much more than just the forgiveness of sins. Sin is important. I don't minimize that. Sin is the thing that keeps you disconnected from God. For God says that He is a holy God and He cannot allow sin into His presence. And so sin, the forgiveness of sin, is important. For when your sins are forgiven, you are reconciled back into your relationship with God. When your sins are forgiven, you are clothed with righteousness and able to enter into the presence of God. And it is in the presence of God where you have the fullness of joy. Without the forgiveness of sin, you cannot enjoy intimate fellowship with God. There can be no forgiveness of sin without the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Jesus died on the cross, and when He died, that became the payment for the sins of all of mankind. For the wages of sin is death. There was a required payment for sin, and Jesus said, I am going to take that on for all of mankind with my death. Why? Because Jesus was perfect and without sin. Jesus was the Son of God. He is the Son of God, and therefore He was able to take on a burden that no one else could take on. And so in Him, we have forgiveness of sin. We have redemption. We are covered by His blood. But get this, it allows us access into the presence of God. In Hebrews, it says that Jesus, as His body, served as a curtain. And that curtain was to open up the way to get into the presence of God. That's why in Hebrews chapter 4, He says to you and me, we can boldly approach the throne of grace to receive help in our time of need. It is a way of saying you and I, because of the blood of Jesus, have unlimited access to God's throne of grace because Jesus has forgiven us of our sins and He has covered us and clothe us with righteousness.
Yes.
Therefore, we are appropriately dressed to enter into His courts.
Yes.
When we come before Him, then we can begin to receive what He has for us, because in His presence, there is fullness of joy. So then, Jesus provides so much more than just forgiveness of sins. He provides for you and me access to the very source of life. Access to the source of life. What that means is this, that everything originates out of God, and that means that in Him you can find everything that you need. It doesn't matter what the area is, God has it. God has it. In Him, you can find everything. So when you get connected to the source, He provides for you. Since then, we have been justified. I just explained to you what justified means. It means that you and I have been made right with God by the blood of Jesus Christ. It says, how much more will we be saved from God's wrath? That means that God is no longer angry at the person who has placed their hope in their trust in Jesus Christ. That you are no longer a recipient of his wrath or a target for his wrath. You are now a recipient of his goodness. You are the target of his goodness. He looks to lavish upon you and me his goodness. He looks to let us have as much of his goodness as we can stand. He wants us to drink from his river of delights and find satisfaction in him and in him alone. He desires to meet us where we are and provide for us because he has now reconciled and restored us back to himself. And because we identify with him, he has a reputation that he has to maintain. And as a good shepherd, he says, I want everybody to know that I'm the good shepherd and that you do not have any lack or you don't have any need because I, as your good shepherd, will provide for you. And so he said, you have all that you need. So much more. He says, so, if we were reconciled to him, how much more, and that's when through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? So Jesus, in the life that he lived, that he gave, now offers you and me so much more for this life as we are united with him and representing him as the king. I want to give you these names and then I'm going to stop because these names represent part of what God offers to you and me that we have to work and we have to stand in faith as we believe that God is able to deliver. Amen. These are names that actually tie to who God is. They are referred to as redemptive names because they are part of the redemption that we receive in Jesus Christ. Go ahead and give me that first one. Jehovah Shammah. The Lord is present. This is very important because sometimes you feel alone. Sometimes you feel like you are all by yourself and you're in it by yourself. What you need to remember is that God has promised that he would never leave you alone. That he is the God who is present with you. And he presents that with his name, Jehovah Shammah, the Lord who is present. You don't have to remember the name Jehovah Shammah, but it's no harm as you do, if you do. But remember, the Lord is present. And so your work of believing when you get lonely and feel alone, you've got to remember that the Lord is present with you. And so your work of believing is to take that idea of being alone and you put it in its proper place because even when you're by yourself, you're not alone. Amen? Amen. Even when it feels like you're on your own, you're not alone. Amen? Amen. And you got to declare it from your mouth. This is getting back to the making the declaration. You've got to declare it from your mouth. I'm not alone because the Lord is present with me.
Yeah.
Amen? That's one of the benefits that you and I receive so much more. It is not just the forgiveness of sin. If all I got was the forgiveness of sin, what happens when I feel alone? But no, he gives me more. He gives me himself. And he reminds me that he is always present with me. Go to that next one. Jehovah Shalom. The Lord is. This is where you make it personal. My peace. The Lord is my peace. When there is so much stuff that's disturbing you that you can't sleep at night. So much stuff that is disturbing you that you can't think straight. You have to remember, the Lord is my peace. Wait a minute, how do I apply that in order then to get the peace of God? Remember in Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3, where God said, he or she who keeps their mind stayed on me will be in perfect peace. I don't
don't get peace or overcome my situation by thinking more about my situation. I get peace by moving my mind from my situation to putting it on God. And so I have to stop fixating on the situation, on the issue that is disturbing my peace, and start thinking about the God who is able to solve the situation and fix it. If he don't fix it, he'll bring me through. Amen?
Amen.
Oh, yeah, if he don't fix it, he'll bring me through it. And so you have to say, the Lord is my peace. And this is the one I was just talking about in terms of him being a shepherd. Jehovah Ra'ah, the Lord is my shepherd. And the idea, again, from Psalm 23 is that God says, I am with you and I will provide for you. I will enable you to lie down and rest in peace. I will be your provision. I will be your guard. I will watch over you. And when your enemy is coming your way, I'll even fix a table so they can watch you eat and get jealous about how well I take care of you. You've got to remember that even when it seems like things are hard and difficult, that Jehovah Rapha, the Lord, is your shepherd. And he never allows his sheep to wander. He never allows his sheep to be without. Never allows his sheep to go to that place where they won't be cared for. And so you can always rest in him. That trouble may last a little while, but it don't last always. As they say, weeping may endure for a night, but here's the truth. Joy will come in the morning light. Why? Because your shepherd is leading you through the valley. Well, that's important because see, it doesn't say that you're not going to have challenges and difficulties. What's the need of faith if there are no challenges and difficulties? The faith is required because there are challenges and difficulties. There is no work if there is no difficulty. There's an enemy opposing God's movement in your life. And God takes that enemy's opposition and he uses it to make you stronger. Which is why after every battle, you come out better. Because he takes everything and uses it to your benefit. The next name is Jehovah Jireh. This is one that many of us are familiar with. The Lord will provide. It comes from that time when God had told him to go and sacrifice his son Isaac. Told Abraham to go and sacrifice his son Isaac, the very one that I promised to you. Go sacrifice him. Abraham, in obedience to God, walks and he goes to sacrifice his son Isaac. And when they are there on the mountaintop at the altar, and Abraham is ready now to take the boy's life, a voice cries out and says, do not harm the boy. God has provided a sacrifice or a ram. Out of that, the name the Lord will provide is revealed. Makes known that God is able to provide even in situations when you think he is not going to do something. The Lord will provide. Jehovah Nissi. The Lord is my banner or he is my victory. This is that idea of the one who goes before you, who leads you in triumphant procession, that no matter what situation you find yourself in, if God is fighting on your behalf, you can be assured of this, you will win. For there is no enemy who can conquer him. There is no one who can contend with him. And if he is fighting on your behalf, he is going to lead you into victory. So you lay back and rest and let God fight your battles. This is where you just be still and let God fight your battles. This is where you start to make that noise and lift up a praise, because in your praise, ambushes are being set up on your behalf and God is fighting your battles. It's when you set it up in your heart and in your mind to know that God is the one who will provide victory, and I'm just going to trust in him. I'm going to do what he is calling me to do, but I'm going to leave the outcome to him. And here's what I know, that even when it seems like he's lost, he's really won. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Do I need to remind you that it was Jesus Christ who was hanging on the cross
and they thought, the devil thought he had won. Because on the cross, Jesus died, and they had to take him down, and they put him in a tomb. And they thought they had won. But wait a minute, on the third day, he said, victory is mine. Because on the third day, he was raised from the dead with all power in his hand. And that's when you and I are reminded that there is no battle that our God can lose. He can do anything but fail. Jehovah Nissi. Jehovah Sitkanu. The Lord is our righteousness. This is that idea, that truth, that principle that comes into place where Jesus has taken in exchange for your sins. He became sin for us so that we might become righteousness for God. So he has exchanged for us our garments of sin, taken off our filthy rags. He has clothed us in a robe of righteousness. And this is not a righteousness that is determined by works. Instead, it is a righteousness that you believe that you are made righteous with God because of the finished work of Jesus Christ. So you don't allow your slip-ups, your failures, or your fall-downs to question your righteousness. Why? Because your righteousness is not born out of what you did, nor what you do. It's born out of what you believe. And that's Jesus Christ is your righteousness. Then, the spider one, Jehovah Rapha. In Exodus, where God says to Moses, tell him, I am the Lord that healeth thee. Then you see at the bottom where it says, I am the Lord your physician. It talks about God being the one who brings healing into us. It is by his sovereign hand that he is the one who heals whatever ails us. And it is these truths, these names, these revelations from God that you and I have to stand on to believe, to receive what he desires to give. And the work becomes in believing these truths about who he is so that we can receive the so much more that comes from a relationship with Jesus Christ. It is his ability to overcome anything that gets in our way of receiving his best for you and me. And the truth is, you and I got to know that stuff is going to come. But we have an answer. God has provided a solution. He says that then your job is to do the work of believing. Believing means that I proclaim these names in an appropriate manner for whatever the need might be, to receive what is available. Believe it means that I stand on what he has said, to know that he has the power to do everything that he has said he can do. Believe it means that I come to the realization and conclusion that there is no situation that is too hard for God, nor is it too far gone. It is believing that God's hand is mighty, and that in his right hand he has all power and all might. That's believing. That's the work that you take to fight off anything that will come to cause you to disbelieve or disbelieve what God has said to you. Brothers and sisters, there's so much more. Your job and my job is to do the work of believing so that we can receive what he has made available to us. What he has made available to us. Even when it doesn't come instantly, don't throw in the towel. You keep pressing. When it doesn't agree with what you had desired or hoped for, don't throw in the towel. You keep trusting. Because when the enemy interrupts what you desire or ask for or thought you should have, God reminds you that he has a way of redeeming you and making it better. Your job is to believe that God is able to deliver.
So much so that you're not willing to go anywhere else. You're willing to stand right there and trust him. Trust him and him alone. Because he will deliver. Amen.